Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, when we broke for the news, we were in the middle of our conversation with Dr. Robert Gregory. He's an associate professor of psychiatry at SUNY Upstate. We're talking about teens and young adults, suicide and self-harm, and it became such an interesting conversation, we just decided to hold it over through the news. Welcome back, Dr. Gregory.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back.
Now, we were talking about some of the risk factors just as we broke for the news. You were telling us some of the things that we need to be watching for, and I just think this is vital information for people in particular who have a teenager or a young adult or probably anyone in their lives.
Yes.
These risk factors are going to be somewhat similar, aren't they?
Yes. There seems to be a continuum for teens and young adults. Many of them are going through the same kind of struggles in terms of finding out who they are, having an identity that's acceptable to them, their family, their friends, their culture.
And when you talk about an identity, explain to us exactly what that means. You as a psychiatrist probably look at that word a little differently from the way a layperson would. So what do you mean by identity?
Well, it's interesting. You know, patients themselves, the teens and young adults will talk about identity as well, or talk about a self and feeling like they don't have a sense of self. It's something that we take for granted very often, but if you don't have that, you find yourself acting like different people in different situations, have a profound sense of emptiness inside. Many of them describe feeling like they're invisible. They walk around and feel like they're invisible, that no one really sees them. And some people even describe themselves like a ghost. So having a sense of self is something that we take for granted and don't even think about it. But if you don't have it, it's a big deal.
And so how would, if I were a parent or a grandparent, how would I determine whether or not my child had a sense of self? Could I ask a question? Who do you think you are? Or I suppose that sounds a little difficult. But
yes.
Would you say, describe yourself to me? Or how would you find out if they didn't have that sense?
Well, there are consequences to not having a stable sense of self. And again, I don't know which is cause and consequence, but the ability to process emotions and experiences, to be able to talk articulately about what's going on inside them, is something that people struggle with who are struggling with finding themselves too. And you'll see problems in their relationships, both at school and at home. You'll see problems in their mood, a lot of mood instability. Many of them get diagnosed as bipolar because of all their ups and downs of mood and irritability. You see problems in sleep and daily functioning, isolation, running up to their room after school and just staying there and not coming out. So those can all be warning signs. Also motivation. Many of them, all of them will have, people at risk have some degree of depression, and so you see a lack of interest. But the most important warning sign, I would say, for parents who are looking, you know, is my teen at risk for suicide, is if you see a really deterioration in their usual behaviors and usual self, so you see their school grades suddenly plummet, is a very important sign. And you see their behavior at home really changing, becoming more isolated. So if you see a sudden dramatic change like that in the child, then that should really be a red flag. Also, if you see a lot of drinking or drug use, if you find out about that in your teen, they're staying out late at parties, as a lot of teens do, of course, that can also, drug use and alcohol use, they're trying to solve something with the alcohol or drugs that's going on inside them. If it's a continued heavy pattern of use anyway, and if they're having problems from the drinking, for instance, having relational problems related to their drinking or staying up very late and coming home late at night, getting into trouble with the law, those are all really danger signs that something's not right inside them.
And when something's not right, that's when they need to start seeking professional help.
Absolutely.
All right. And so you've just given us an excellent overview of the kinds of things we need to be looking for. All right. Now what do we do? We've observed those things in children and young adults. Now
yes.
What do we do? Who do we take them to?
Well, the first step is to bring things out into the open. So, you know, talk to your child about your concerns, about is the most important message, and try to be in a non-judgmental way and a concerned way.
Not confrontational at all.
Not confrontational, but lay it out on the table. I wouldn't hide the fact that you're concerned about them or hide some of their behaviors. Be very open about it. So confrontational in terms of being open about your concerns and open about some behaviors, but really try to get them to start opening up and talking. Very often that's very difficult for the teen or young adult. They often have, for instance, start having misperceptions about where the parents are coming from. They may start thinking that the parents don't really love them or get all kinds of, start misconstruing different actions. They may see the discipline that the parents have as more control mm-hmm. rather than out of love.
Right, right.
And
a lot of these really are just typical teenage reactions to things. That's why it's difficult, because you can't tell when they're being typical teens and when they're really reacting in a negative way. All right, so we get them to the professionals now. Either we've been referred by a family doctor or maybe made a call. And in a minute, I want to make sure we talk about the group that you're putting together and the group mm-hmm. that exists to help. But mm-hmm. What can they expect then if they take their child to a doctor, to a psychiatrist? First of all, there's a shortage.
Yes.
Are there programs available for kids and young adults?
Yes. I think the shortage issue is a major problem. There are some services, though, that people should be aware of. One is that it's much easier to get to see a psychologist than a psychiatrist and to get an evaluation by a psychologist. Getting a diagnosis, though, is very important, and trying to see what the problem is, because there are different reasons that the teens or young adults are having problems, and so you really need treatment tailored to them. At Upstate, we've really been trying to increase our services, and one thing we did is establish a few months ago a dialectical behavior therapy program for teens who are at risk.
And what does dialectical mean?
Well, dialectical behavior therapy is one of the treatments that's been shown to be effective in decreasing self-harm and suicide attempts.
Very good.
So this is specifically targeted for the groups at risk, and it combines individual and group therapy, and they also try to get the families involved. And so it's a very intensive program. And people can call the Upstate Clinic, though, psychiatry clinic, at the 464-3100 number.
Okay, and we'll make sure we put this information on our website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But that program does have openings, so it is available.
Excellent.
And I do want to emphasize it's really helpful to have specialized, empirically supported treatments that have been shown to be more helpful than usual care in the community. That doesn't mean usual care in the community is contraindicated or can't be helpful. It's just that if you have specialized services available, that's definitely the way to go.
Definitely. I would think specialized services would really hone in on the individual and yes. how we can help them.
And then on the young adult side, we also have specialized programs, both in dialectical behavior therapy and a new treatment called dynamic deconstructive psychotherapy.
Wow.
And that focuses a lot on it. That's also been shown in a recent study to decrease suicide attempts in particular, but also self-harm and drinking behavior. And focuses really in on trying to remediate the parts of the brain which are shut down on how the person processes their emotional experiences in particular, and makes attributions then of themselves and others.
And so it really gives them the tools to get beyond these feelings of desolation and depression and so forth.
And it's not only tools, but actually activating the parts of the brain which are dysfunctional, which we know from brain scans, for instance, and neuroimaging.
And really attacks the physical reasons for these.
Correct.
Then. Interesting. Correct. You have a foundation. We only have another minute, but tell us about the endowment you've put together and what it's for.
Yes. We've put together an endowment called the Suicide and Self-Harm Prevention Fund that was set up last summer. And recently, the Craigs in remembrance of a daughter that they lost to suicide, just put together a fund called the Corinne M. Craig Memorial Fund. Both of them are at the Upstate Foundation, and they're really focused on trying to improve services for people with at risk for suicide and self-harm, as well as to provide training for professionals so that there's more services available and continue research efforts in this area.
Very good. And people can make contributions to those funds?
Absolutely. It's a 464-4416 number to the Upstate Foundation, and it's just let them know that you're interested in those funds, and they'll be used to hopefully to work towards building a center at Upstate that can be a regional resource for the community.
That's excellent. And we will make sure, again, that we put that information on our website as well. Well, Dr. Robert Gregory, we've kept you a long time this morning, but this is just very valuable information.
Well,
and
terrific.
I can only imagine that there may be lives saved because someone's heard you this morning. So I thank you so much for your time.
So. You're welcome.
And listeners, we need to take a break. We will be back in just a few minutes. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.